The book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I want to look at verses 14 through 16 tonight. I want to preach on this thought: ye are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In verse 14, we see the illustration of light. Jesus has just finished introducing the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the Christian character and Christian conduct that each and every believer ought to have. They are progressive steps that every one of us need to go up. And as we've climbed those heights, the first thing Jesus said was, ye are the salt of the earth. And then verse 14, he said, ye are the light of the world. He's using everyday common things to explain to us spiritual truth. Salt is hidden in its work, and it is working in secret. But light is obvious, and light is working out in the open. As Christians, you and I ought to be teaching and preaching and influencing the world for the glory of God. In the Jewish temple, there in the holy place, there is what is called the menorah, which is the golden lampstand. I want some of you young men to volunteer for me. Some of you, I need six of you. Six of you young men, would you come up here, please? Come on. Time's wasting. Come on, six of you. Come on. Yes, you can. Yes, six of you young men. Yes. Young men. I need six young men. I want to show you what the golden lampstand or the menorah looks like. Well, we've got three, four, five. I need one more. Who's going to be my next young man to come? Come on. Here comes one right back here. All right. I want three of you right here. I want three of you right here. Three of you come over here. One, two, three. Right. Okay. Let's slide over this way. We want to get in the center. Slide over this way. Come on. The golden lampstand, we're looking at the top of the lampstand, looked like this. In the middle was what is called the center shaft. That's where the oil comes through, and it's where the original light is lit. Okay? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Everything in the temple represents Jesus. Jesus is the center shaft. He is the center light on that menorah. Through him, the Holy Spirit flows. To the left and to the right of that lampstand are other candles and lamps that have the oil that comes through the center shaft out to the sides. And each one of these would bear their own individual light as they receive the flame and the oil from the center shaft, which represents Jesus Christ. Do you, oh, glory to God. This is going to preach, ain't it? Do you see what Jesus said when he said, I am the light of the world, and then he turned around and said, ye are the light of the world. You see, we can bear the light for the glory of God through Jesus. Without Jesus, we'd do nothing. Their lights would not shine without the oil and without the flame of Jesus Christ. Amen. But when we're hooked up to him, hallelujah, they've got their own individual lights. Did you get that illustration? Thank you, gentlemen, for your help tonight. Amen. Appreciate you so much. You understand that every one of us are on that lampstand with Jesus. And our light comes through him. This light is not of our own. Our light is through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. I want us tonight to study some characteristics of light, this illustration of light. Light repels darkness. It is very important to know that because this world is in spiritual darkness. But the wonderful truth about light is when light comes into darkness, darkness has to flee. Darkness cannot overcome light. Oh, I love that, don't you? Light always destroys darkness. Jesus represents light. The devil represents darkness. And Jesus always destroys the devil. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Do you see? This earth was in darkness. And God said, let there be light. And darkness couldn't do anything about it. The light came. Boom. And darkness had to flee. Don't you just love that tonight? Darkness cannot overcome light. In the book of John, chapter number 1, we remember that very first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. But the light still shined. In John chapter 3, we remember verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. Amen. I remember the night I got saved. I was living in darkness. But God shined the light and came and saved me. And now the light lives inside me. Hallelujah to God for that. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, in verse number 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are the light of the world. And your light is based, your light is sourced, it originates from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Light repels the darkness. Next of all, light radiates. Do you understand that the smallest light can overcome darkness? We had young Mr. Chase, who's how old now? 6 years old. He's been saved. He's got a light. Hey, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And let me tell you something. The smallest light can shine, and it will take the darkness and send it away, because the light radiates. Guess what else? Light will penetrate the smallest crack. The devil thought he had me covered. The devil thought he had me in a place that the gospel couldn't get to. But the Lord found the crack. And the smallest light that He shined broke open that crack, broke open that darkness, and the light came in, and I got gloriously saved. What about Psalms 119? We think about light. It also shows you what's on the path. It'll serve as a beacon for you, for guidance. Therefore, if you and I are the lights of the world,
then you and I need to let our light shine for the glory of God, that others who are living in darkness might see what it's like to live in light. In Psalm 119, down here in verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, the word of God is a light. And if you and I would take the word of God that is a light, led by the Spirit of God who is our oil, lit by the holy flame which is the Son, Jesus Christ, amen, we'll shine for the glory of God and we'll give sweet counsel and guidance to others who are not living for the Lord. In verse 130, the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Aren't you glad tonight that there's been times when you are in darkness about things and the word of God was used to shed light on that situation and gave you the answer and you felt good about it. You got assurance about it. Thank God for the light from the word of God. Next of all, light reveals. Now, you take a simple lighthouse. It displays a warning light to ships that are getting too close to shore. Maybe they're in the middle of a storm, dark at night. What about lights on top of a police car or an emergency vehicle? They sound a warning, a caution to get our attention. I think about the man that went out hunting with his friend, how light reveals. His friend and him were out in a storm, and his friend got to a little old shack, a little old barn there, to a place of safety, but the other man was soaking wet. He didn't know where to go or where to turn, so he went into a cave. And he felt pretty good about things. He was a little wet. He was a little bit cold. But he sat down in that cave, and he felt around in the corner, and he raked over some dry twigs and made a little pile of them. And he had a match, and he lit those dry twigs. And in that place of a dark cave, that little fire began to shed a little light what was around him. And when he looked over his head, there's a great big cobweb and a spider hanging on it, looking right at him. He backed up. To his amazement, he looked to his right where he'd been moving those twigs, and there was two snakes coiled up together. Lord God, that scared him to death. And he began to look around behind him, and he seen two beady eyes just behind him, and he said, that's enough. The light has shown me spiders, snakes, and a wild beast, and I'm out of here, Jack. I ain't staying around. Let me tell you, that's what happened the night I got saved. When the man of God began to preach the word of God and the light started shining on where I was living on my way to a devil's hell, I said, you know what, devil? You go to hell if you want to, but I ain't going with you, amen. I'm going to get saved. And the light was shining and showed me what was going on in my life. Thank God for somebody who will still take the word of God and shine a light. So what we try to do behind this sacred desk is we try to get up here and maybe there's somebody in darkness. Our job is to shine the light that they might see the way, amen. Our job as Christians tonight in the middle of a lost and crooked old world is to let your light shine for the glory of God that they might know what it's like for somebody that's saved and serves God. Amen. I'm glad the light reveals, aren't you? Now, I studied a little bit about the Titanic. A couple of things amazed me. First of all, I thought about the value of things. This don't really have anything to do with the light, but I'm going to mention it. There was a woman, she was in first class, and she got on board the lifeboat off that RMS Titanic, and she got on board the lifeboat, and she said before they lowered her down, it's a true story, she said, wait a minute, I forgot something in my room. Said, you can't go back. She said, I got to. I got to have it. They let her, said, ma'am, you have 3 minutes. She jumped off the lifeboat, which was going to let her go to safety, and she ran back into her little cabin. And one of the sailors said that he saw that woman run by him and run into that room there. And when she went into that room, there was jewelry laying there. There was diamonds that had been knocked into the floor. And she went right by him, didn't grab any of her money or any of her jewels. She got 3 oranges out of a little old tray, put them in her pocket, and run and jump back on board that little old lifeboat. And they said, ma'am, what have you got? She said, I got us some oranges. She said, I don't want to starve to death. Now you may say, I wouldn't risk my life for a couple of oranges. But she was thinking, I don't know how long I'll be out here, and these oranges may be what saves my life. You see, it's funny when the pressure gets on how the values of things change. Diamonds don't mean anything. You can't eat them. Jewelry don't mean anything. You may have lost it. You may be upset about it. But it don't mean anything. Amen. Oranges were more valuable to that woman than all the diamonds and the monies of this world was at that point in time. May I say to you tonight then, amen, that Jesus and the light that He shined my direction was more important to me than anything else this world had to offer. Amen. Hey, the RMS Titanic, it was given warning after warning after warning that there were icebergs in the water, and yet they sailed on anyway. In fact, the man that was inside the cabin there who was taking the messages got a message from a local ship that they had seen icebergs, and this is what he said. He said, "Shut up, man. I am talking to Cape Race, and you are jamming my signal." Cape Race and he were communicating about what time the chauffeurs should meet them. They were communicating about which dinner menus to bring that they might have something to eat. He was more concerned about chauffeurs. He was more concerned about all the things of the world than the things of God. Isn't that something? Amen. We need to listen to the warnings that God gives us, and we need to slow our vessels down. Amen. Proverbs 15:30 tells us this: "The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart." Therefore tonight, light rejoices. Preacher, what do you mean? Light gives warmth, and light gives energy. Light gives comfort. Now you take somebody up in Alaska. They're in darkness in December, 24 hours a day. And you know what they do? Folks get depressed, and they about lose all their emotional control because of the darkness. And you know, rather than lose their mind, you know how they prevent it? Cut the lights on. Thank God, in the middle of darkness, we can cut the lights on, and when the light comes on, it caused their heart to rejoice. I remember laying in a hospital so sick, and it seemed like the night was the longest period of time. I couldn't wait to see the light of day. I couldn't wait to see the sunshine get up. Something about the light made me feel better. There's a group of people that suffer from a disorder. It's called season affective disorder. Season affective disorder. It's called SAD. A lot of folks get depressed when they're in a place of darkness. And you know what they do to help them to induce healing? Light therapy. Lord of God, I'm glad tonight, amen, we're in light therapy. Amen. This whole world will make you sad. It's a repressed and a depressed place. This whole world is filled with darkness. But glory to God, we've got the light therapy, amen. It causes our heart to cheer and our hearts to rejoice. I'm going to ask you this question. Then if you are the light of the world, are you bringing inspiration, joy, warmth, and comfort to others as you share the good news? Or are you hiding your light? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? You know what else light does? Light revives. He says in Matthew 4:16, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light." The Queen of England was going to put a medal, the highest medal she had, on Helen Keller. She was both deaf and blind. And said, "How have you accomplished so much being both deaf and blind?" Her first reply was, "I owe it to little Annie." Little Annie. She was standing right next to her. You see, little Annie was a lady named Annie Sullivan. And from the time she was just an infant, they put her in an insane asylum. And because she was so messed up, they put her in the dungeon of the insane asylum where she rarely got the light of day. But there was a nurse who was an elderly nurse ready to retire. And she knew that Annie was downstairs. And every day, this woman would go see her in the dungeon at lunchtime. And she brought her brownies. Now, most time when you go see Annie, she would try to tear you apart, or she would completely ignore that you even existed. But that day, she left those brownies and walked away. And the next morning, the next afternoon when the nurse came back, the brownies were gone. She thought, did the rats get them, or did Annie eat them? She left them again. And the next day, they were gone again. And day after day after day, That nurse was faithful to bring those brownies down there to Annie. And over the course of time, they developed a relationship. And soon Annie began to heal up. She began to revive from her condition. And soon she was well enough, the doctors brought her upstairs where she could see the light of day. And little by little by little, she began to get better and better. And finally, they told her she could go home. She refused. She said, I want to work here in this insane asylum that I might show somebody the light that's been shown to me. Hey, I want to say to you tonight, amen. She took this lady, Helen Keller, and she invested everything she had in her to try to encourage her heart. Hey, let me tell you something. There's been some people that God has put in our path who's been a source of revival for us. Someone that God has put in our path to encourage us. I mean, they were faithful. I remember Brother Percy Ray. He was faithful to preach the book. A whole lot of people didn't like him. A lot of people was against him. But he loved me. And he cared enough for my lost soul to preach the gospel, no matter what some of those people had to say about him. And he come to our home many times. And he'd talk to us. And he'd encourage us. Oh, what a source of light he's been. I think about my dad. Think about my mom. I think about people that God has allowed my life to cross. I mean, there's individuals, I couldn't even begin to list them, that I met them and just a smile on their face when I shook their hand made such a difference in my life. Oh, that you and I could be the light for somebody else that's going through a time of darkness or a time of hardship, that we'd be praying for them. We'd be faithful to encourage them. We'd be consistent to shine the light because somebody needs it. Oh, Lord God, let somebody in this congregation tonight determine that I want the light of Jesus to shine through me that I might help somebody else in the way. Hallelujah to God. Well, light reveals, light rejoices, light revives, but light rescues. I talked about Brother Percy there. I remember the time that he said he went catfishing and he stayed too long catfishing and darkness came. And as he was coming out of that catfish hole, the brambles and the briars tore his clothes and he lost his way and he was just all cut up and he didn't know which way he came in. He couldn't really figure out which way out. But as he looked, he saw a light in a house. And he said, you know, I don't really know where I am, but I see that light and I'm going to head that direction. And when I get there, I'm going to ask them to use the phone so I can call somebody to rescue me. And so as he was walking that way through the wilderness area of the swamp bottoms down there in Mississippi, he was headed for that light. And he said that he took one step and he fell down a ravine. He didn't even see it. I mean, he rumbled and bumbled and tumbled and fumbled down through there. And he said, I was all right when I hit the bottom, but I thought, how am I going to get out? And he followed the ravine a little bit, and finally, there was a way back up. He began to feel for the rocks and roots of trees that he could pull himself back out. And he finally got back out of that hole, sweating. I mean, worried to death, what am I going to do? Some wild animal will kill me. And he said, when I got back to the top, he said, I looked all the way around, and the light that I saw at that house had been cut off. And now I'm stuck in the wilderness all night long. You don't know who is watching your light. Think about these six young boys right here. You think they're going to watch to see if their preacher stays in the book? You think they're going to watch the deacons in this church to see if they're going to stay in the book? You say they're going to listen to this choir sing and be a part of it to see if it stays in the book? I'm telling you what, you're setting a course for them that's going to determine how things are going to turn out. Amen. Don't cut the lights off. Keep them on. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, that encourages me tonight. Hallelujah. For some old-time men of God who wouldn't cut the lights off. They say that AT&T has a laser beam that can transmit messages by light. 186,000 miles per second through fiber optics and lasers, they can transmit messages back and forth. Glory to God, that ain't nothing new. God called you and I to stand up and deliver a message too. He's the light and we are lights and he's give us a message. In Romans chapter 1:16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, way before AT&T ever came around, God gave his people a message that we ought to be delivering, and we deliver it in the light. Hallelujah to God. I think about Luke 15. Turn there. There was a woman who lost a coin, and she was troubled, worried to death about it. In Luke 15, in verse number 8, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So, preacher, I ain't following you. Preacher, you said light rescues. Listen, this woman had lost that candle, lost that coin, and the Bible says she lit a candle. She lit a candle. There's the light. There is darkness abounding in her house. Amen. But when the light shined in the midst of the darkness, darkness had to give away, and she found that which was lost. Hallelujah. What a salvation message. Amen. To light the candle, shine the light, that people might be saved. What else does light do? Light reflects. Again, we do not have a light of our own. Jesus is the light, and we are to reflect his light. But are you, listen to what I'm going to tell you. We are not a mirror. No, this reflection is an inner reflection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the light that he put in there that must shine. Jesus said in John, turn with me now back to Matthew chapter 5. I want to leave that part. Matthew chapter 5. I want to say second of all, in Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see not only the illustration of light, you are the light of the world, and we saw its characteristics, but I want you to see second of all, the illumination of light. The illumination of light. I want you to see the public light. He says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Light is not meant to be hidden. Light is meant to be seen. Now Jerusalem is built on a hill. And at nighttime the city would be lit up. You could see it off in the surrounding area, because the inhabitants would take oil lamps and hang outside, and the whole city would be lit up at nighttime. Hey, we are to come together. This church is to come together collectively as lights. So when it's dark out there in the world, they'll see there's a little light shining up there on that Bethel Hill. And it's shining for the glory of God. You remember that old story about the construction owner who went to a little rundown church and told them, I want to build a new church for you, and it won't cost you anything. My crew will take care of all expenses. And the church voted and said, you go ahead. And the construction man went to work with the crew and built a beautiful, beautiful building years and years ago. And when they got in there, you know, they put different hangings on the wall to bring their oil lamps and put up, but the oil lamps were all missing. And when they came in, the pastor said, what a beautiful building, what a beautiful pulpit. I'm so thankful for what you've done, but I don't understand. The lights aren't provided. And the construction worker said, you know, my thought is this. Every person, when they come, bring their light, their own light, and hang up on the wall. And then when we all get in here collectively, this place will shine for the glory of God. Did you bring your light tonight? Huh? Or is your corner dark? You look around, maybe there's people not even here. What happens when we miss church? There's a dark place. There's a missing something going on. When we ought to be shining for the glory of God. Hey man, I'm interested when I come to the house of God in bringing the light with me. How about you, amen? So it is a public light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be healed. Second of all, it is a personal light. Look with me. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now again, the very nature of light, it is to shine. And this candle, it is put on a candlestick. It's lifted up that it might illuminate. And this candle is lit personally, individually. You see that? It's just one candle in the house. That represents you and me personally. Not only is it a public light collectively, but it's a personal light. You and I ought to have individual lights in our life shining for the glory of God. Hey, is your light shining personally tonight? Then I think about it shining purposefully. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It's lifted up. It's placed strategically. Now that's interesting to me tonight, because God does not want you to hide your testimony. He don't want you to cover it up. He don't want you to hide it. He wants you to let the light shine. He wants you and I, as collective believers, individual believers, to let our light shine. You know what? God gave you a job. God gave you the ability to go to a marketplace. He has you strategically placed that you might let your light shine. Now, you may not like where He puts you. You may say, I want to go somewhere else. But when God says, I want you to shine right here, then you just stand up and bing, let her shine for the glory of God. Amen. So it's a purposeful light. Amen, I like that. And then it's a progressive light. Now look here. He talked first of all about you are the light of the world. And then he talks about a city. And then he talks about the light in the house. Do you see that? You ought to be lights to the world. You ought to be lights in the community or the city in which you live. And you ought to be lights individually in your own home. Mom and dad, you're shining the light for your children. Amen? I want to say in this church, when we come together collectively, our Sunday school teachers, choir leaders, members that are faithful to pray and seek God's faith, you are shining the light in our church. Are we shining it in our community? How do others view us? Do they view us as lights? I hope they are. I thought about this. What would cause our lights to be hidden? Now, we're the lights of the world, but what will cause our light to be hidden? Well, he said right here, that it could be hid under a bushel in Matthew 5, verse number 15. You know what a bushel is? A bushel is a measure of grain. That's a way to measure grain, in a bushel barrel. And a lot of times the Jews, when they'd step away at nighttime, maybe they've got a candlelight, and they would put a bushel on top of it and let the light go down. It'd still be shining under the bushel while they stepped out. When they came back in, they'd take the bushel off of the light. Jesus said, don't hide your light under a bushel. You know, a bushel is a symbol of business. It's a symbol of commerce. Lord said you better be careful, because the drive for your career and the drive for your business could become more important to you than letting the light shine for Jesus. So you better be careful not to let prosperity cause your lights to go out. What else? Well, let's look at this parallel passage in Mark chapter 4. We're almost done, I promise. In Mark chapter 4 and verse number 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Well, we see the bushel there. That represents prosperity trying to hide the light. But second of all, we see the bed. Now, what does the bed represent? It's a piece of furniture. It represents laying down. It represents leisure. You know, there's a lot of folks nowadays that are more interested in recreation and leisure than they are in the things of God. We'll have tons more people go on a trip than we'll have for youth choir practice. I'm just keeping it real. You see, we're more interested in going on doing things that are fun, letting our light shine in a time of practice. You're welcome. Well, at least you is here tonight, amen. So you better be careful, because if you pursue pleasure, it could cause your light to be hidden from your fellow man. You'll get out on the ball field, you'll yell, scream, and holler, but in God's house, you won't even raise your hand. When you're on the ball field, you ought to be letting your light shine for the glory of God. Amen. What about Luke chapter number 11? I know this is going to come out just like this. Luke chapter 11, verse number 33. Jesus says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. This secret place, look this word up, what it means, it's speaking of a cellar or of a basement, a lower place. You know what? Prosperity and pleasure will hide your light, but perverse behavior, trying to do things and hide them from the church, trying to do things and hide them from the spouse, trying to do things and hide them from the kids. Let me tell you what, you ain't letting your light shine. You're going to come in here and act like you're praising God, go to live like a devil in a secret place. God knows better. Your light is being hidden to those who need to see the light because of prosperity, because of pleasure, and because of your perverse behavior. Friend, I tell you what, we ought to be careful with the light God gave us. Have y'all ever been to a wedding? I've been to a lot of them. They want me to stand up here a lot of times and hold this thing. It's interesting to hold a book and read to them out of the book. But I watch as these folks come in to light the candles. You ever watch them? They light that thing and they come carrying. You know how they are? They're careful. And they're careful. They don't want that light to go out. If that light goes out, Lord God, they might not ever get started again. If that light goes out, they're going to be embarrassed. And they go up here, and they go to start lighting them candles. Y'all ever watched them? You ever had to do that? Huh? Whoa, you see them shaking. They're trying to light another light, you know, one of them goes out. Oh, no, and they got to go back and relight it. And I'm going to tell you something. They're careful with a light. How do you handle the light God gave you? Lord God, we're not careful with the light that we ought to have. We ought to be careful with the light that God's given us. Amen. Bless His holy name. And then thirdly tonight, we'll close. We want you to go back to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And we want you to see the invitation of light. He says, let your light, verse 16, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God wants the world to see your good works because your good works should glorify God. Now, a lot of people's good works, they have the idea that the church ought to pat them on the back and the preacher ought to put their name on the sign out front when they do a good deed. That's not good works. I looked it up in the Greek. This is how it's defined. Good works are those things that are done which are Christ-honoring. And any glory that's in it for you or I didn't honor Christ. The servant wants to bring honor to the master at all times. God says, you do good works that they may glorify your Father. Your Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Our good works ought to be lifting up Jesus Christ. The word glorify means to praise, to magnify, to draw attention to. Again, started tonight by saying to John Henry, stars don't shout. Look at me. Look at me. I'm shining up here. No, they're not shouting, trying to get everybody's attention to look at them. Stars just shine quietly to bring glory to the Father that created them and lit them up. You and I have got to learn. It's not about getting attention for us. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look how bad I got it. Look how good I got it. Look what I did for somebody. Look how I helped. Oh no. It's about shining for the glory of God. As you live your life cleanly before others, it glorifies God, who called you to be a light. You remember that story in the book of Judges about Gideon and how he cut that army from thousands down to 300? And Gideon said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to whoop them with 300. I mean, they got thousands of people. God said, you put a sword in one hand, and in the other hand, I want you to get a pitcher. It's a clay jar. And inside that clay jar, I want you to put a light, and I want you to light it. Hey, when you start coming down the hill, I want you to break the pitcher. And when you break the pitcher, the light shines. You see, you and I are that clay earthen jar that has the light inside. And when you and I learn to get broken, the light will shine. And when it did, they blew the trumpet and ran down the hill and discomfited the enemy and won a great victory because the darkness couldn't handle the light. Friend, I don't know what you go through. Maybe you're in a hard place. But I'll tell you something, this hard place you're in, it's designed to bring glory to the Father by letting your light shine. Though terrible things has happened to you, you're going to keep the faith. Hallelujah. Oh, may God let every one of us let our light shine for the glory of God.